Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. John 14, if you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word. I'll begin in verse number 1 read the first 6 verses to you this morning, and then we'll see what we can learn today. John 14, verse number 1 says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Boy, I like verse number 6, don't you? Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. I'm interested in verse number 1 where the Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on our life. I thank you, God, for being good to us. Now, I pray, God, that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd illuminate our mind. God, that you would help us for just a little while as we preach today. God, I pray, God, that you'd meet each and every need of this service today. Lord, that sinner that may be here lost and on the road to hell, I pray, God, that you'd save them today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look here in chapter number 14 where the Bible said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." I began to study the book of John again over the recent days, and boy, the book of John is such a great book in the Bible. Matter of fact, I've said this to many people down through the years, if you want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, then read the book of John. It deals with the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter number 1, there's the incarnation of Christ. In chapter 2 through 4, there's the presentation of Christ. In chapters 5 through 12, there's confrontation with Christ. In chapter 13 through 16, there's instruction by Christ. In chapter 17, boy, I like chapter 17, there's intercession by Christ. In chapters 18 and 19, there's the crucifixion of Christ. But boy, thank God for chapter 20 and 21. There's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the whole entire life of Christ in the book of John. I said this in chapter 13 through 16 when studying the book. There is instruction by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? If we need to know how to react to things in our life, the Bible will tell us how to do that. When you study chapter 13 through 16, there's instruction on forgiveness. Well, I didn't get no amens right there. I got a yep by Robert, but I didn't get no amens. You know what? We need to know how to forgive. Somebody say amen. There's instruction on forgiveness. There's instruction on betrayal, departure. There's instruction on heaven, amen. The Holy Spirit, the peace of God, fruitfulness, the world, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to chapter number 14, the first few words are very interesting. Here's what he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. I studied that word out, and that word means this. It means, the word trouble means agitated. It means shaken. It means stressed out. It means worried. It means restless. It means anxious. In other words, we could say this, it means anxiety. He said, don't let your heart be in a state of anxiety, a state of agitation, a state of being shaken or stressed out. As I thought about that, why is he saying that to the disciples? Why is Jesus saying in chapter 14 to not let your heart be troubled? Well, I think it's important that we back up just a couple chapters before I preach and understand what the context of the Scripture is. You remember chapter number 11? Probably many of you know chapter number 11 and verse number 35. John 11:35, can anybody quote it? Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible, and the first one that I ever memorized. Jesus wept. But why was Jesus crying that day in chapter number 11? You remember in chapter 14, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be stressed out. Don't be anxious over things. Don't be agitated. Well, why is he saying that? In chapter number 11, he's crying. But why is he crying? Well, he's crying because his buddy's dead. Lazarus dies in chapter number 11. Yes, he brings him back, but he still dies in chapter number 11. Mary and Martha is upset because of that. Well, let's think about chapter number 12. In chapter number 12, you'll find as it begins that Martha served. Lazarus is just sitting at the table, and Mary is worshiping. Matter of fact, I believe that every person in this room this morning can fit into one of those three categories. Lazarus, there's a lot like this. Now, don't get upset with me. I'm headed to chapter 14, but I saw this morning, and man, I've just got to talk about it a minute. Lazarus is just sitting there. He's present, but he's just sitting there. How many times are we that way at church? We're present, but that's it. We're just sitting there. We just walk in and we sit down. Well, there's Martha, and Martha is serving. Martha's doing something, man. She's not just present, but she's doing something, man. She's busy. But then you find Mary. What does Mary do? Man, Mary takes that box of ointment, and she anoints the Lord that day, and she takes her hair and even dries his feet with her hair. She's just worshiping. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's worshiping the Lord. There's those that come to church, and they just sit. There's those that come to church, and they're busy doing something. And there's those that come to church and worship. You know what we need? We need the right proportion of all three of that. We need to be here, and we need to sit and listen, but at the same time, we need to serve, but at the same time, we've got to worship Him. Well, why is she anointing the feet of Jesus that day? Chapter number 12. Whenever you begin to study that ointment out, she is anointing Him. The spices that she is using, she's anointing Him for His death. You see, Jesus is fixing to go to Calvary. Matter of fact, you also, in studying that ointment, you'll find out that it was an ointment that in that alabaster box and that perfume, if you want to look at it that way, was one that a king would wear. I thought about this. The Bible said she took her hair, and whenever you study that in verse number 3, and wiped his feet as she walked down the street after that. You know what? The aroma that was on Jesus was on her, and it was an aroma that was on a king. And maybe people would look at her and say, huh, it seems like she's been with a king. Hear me and hear me well. She had been with a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we truly get to where He's at, and we truly worship Him for who He is, others will know that also. Chapter number 12, chapter 11, his friends did. Chapter 12, they anoint Him for His death. They anoint Him to go to Calvary. Chapter number 12, and Jesus, verse 23, and Jesus answered him, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Chapter 12, verse 27 said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. What is it? It's the crucifixion he's talking about. Verse 32, he's talking to his disciples, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. You got to understand, why are they troubled? Well, chapter number 12, he tells them that he's going to die. Chapter number 13 is the Last Supper. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. But watch this in verse number 21, chapter 13. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, here's the disciples that has walked hand in hand with him practically for 3.5 years. Here's the 12 that he has chosen. Here's the 12 that he has just washed their feet. He washed Judas's feet too, by the way. Are you with me this morning? He tells them, I'm fixing to die. And then he says, one of y'all is a betrayer. One of y'all really is not one of us. He doesn't say who it is, but he tells them. You remember what I just read to you? Let not your heart be troubled. Are you starting to see what Jesus is saying to them? Don't let your heart be troubled. Well, when we read on in chapter 13, when we get to the end of chapter 13, guess what? He looks at Peter and says, you're going to deny me. Now, here's Jesus, chapter 11, his buddy's dead. Chapter number 12, we find that he talks about he's going to die on Calvary. Chapter 13, he washes their feet, has the Last Supper. He says, one of you will betray me and sell me out to the crucifixion. Oh, and by the way, Peter, you're going to deny that I'm even God. Man, 3.5 years, they've saw him raise the dead, make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Are you with me? These guys have practically lived together with Christ for 3.5 years, and all of a sudden now, somebody's going to betray Christ. And then he just points Peter straight out, calls him by name, and says, hey, you're going to deny me. No, he didn't betray him, but he denied him. He denied him. Look in verse number 36 of chapter number 13. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Here's something that's very interesting. I'm not going to preach this. Jesus tells Peter right there not to follow him. If Peter would have only listened to Jesus that day, he wouldn't have denied the Lord. But Jesus, in his foreknowledge, knew that Peter wouldn't listen to him. So he just goes ahead and tells him, hey, you know what? Because you won't listen to me, you're going to deny me. Chapter 14, verse number 1. Are you there? Let not your heart be troubled. What do you mean, don't let my heart be troubled? That's what he says to him. Don't let your heart be troubled. Can you understand why the disciples may now be a little anxious? I wonder who it is. I mean, could you imagine the talk in the disciples' group chat that night? The one that Jesus wasn't in? Who is it that's going to, is it going to be John? Is it going to be Peter? And you know what is so interesting? Nobody ever said it's Judas. Judas had so fooled everybody around him. That's another message within itself. But nobody really ever detected that Judas was the wolf in the pack. Now Jesus comes to him and he says, hey, look, I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to be heartbroken. I don't want you to be shaken. I don't want you to be stressed out. I don't want you to be worried. I don't want you to be anxious. Well, how could they not be troubled? He goes on to tell them some promises for troubled days. And I'll preach to you on that for about 10 minutes and we'll go home. Number one, there's the promise of peace. There is the promise of peace. Certainly the death of Jesus being prophesied to them. Certainly everything that they have been told in chapter 13, that they saw in chapter 11 and chapter number 12, certainly it has brought a troubled spirit upon them. But Jesus says to them, there is a promise of peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I thought about this, what brings trouble into our lives? Sometimes it's because of hurt. Sometimes it's because of empty places in our life. When a loved one passes away, there is a void in our life that we can't explain. On Thursday, I come up to the office early Thursday morning. You say, it was Thanksgiving. Yeah, but I still had to preach today. Are you with me? I still got to preach four times tomorrow and Tuesday in a couple's retreat. So I was in the office early and I was studying Thursday morning, probably before a lot of y'all ever even got out of the bed unless you was deer hunting. I was in the office and I was studying and man, just all of a sudden out of nowhere, Brother Lloyd, my grandparents came to my mind. Both sets of my mama's mom and daddy and my daddy's mom and daddy. And I just took my glasses off. I laid them down on the desk. I fixed a cup of coffee. And I sat in my chair, honestly, for probably an hour and didn't do nothing but cry. I thought about all the memories that I had at their house as a boy growing up. I thought about all the memories of going to Western Auto and riding a bicycle down the aisle at Western Auto that my grandpa owned. And I thought about all the memories of my other grandpa preaching. And but I thought about all the memories of growing up. And I just sat there and I cried a while. And then I flipped over and I read this. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm glad that in troubled days and in hard days, and when we don't know which way to go, we have a peace from God that cannot be explained. I thought about this. Here's what he said. Philippians chapter number 4. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind. Watch this. Through Christ Jesus. How do we have that peace of God today? It's not through ourselves. It's not through ourselves. Don't fall out with me right here, but it's not through a pill. It's not through a medication. I understand there's times because of nerve issues and different things that medication has to be taken. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll just get around the feet of Jesus, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. And the way it comes is through Christ today. It's not through this world, but it's through Christ today. Here's what he said. Look in verse 16 of chapter 14. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he might abide with you forever. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then he goes on to say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What's he saying? He's saying this, the reason that we don't have to live a troubled life is because we have a promised peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, not only a promised peace, there's a promised place. There's a promised place. Look what your Bible said in verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Watch this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There is a promised place today. There is a promised place today. I thought about this. It'll be a sufficient place. You'll have need of nothing whenever you get to heaven. Amen. It is sufficient today. It'll be a satisfying place. It'll be a splendid place. Oh, the place that God has prepared for us today. Why is my heart not troubled? Why am I not anxious today? Here's the reason why. The good God of glory is preparing a place for us. I'm glad there's a place called heaven today. Oh, yes. I thought about this. I'm 45 years old. Holding strong. 45 years old, and honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you, I feel the best today that I have since I was in high school. And I, after I got out of the hospital, I really started watching what I eat. I started exercising a lot. And you say, well, that's nonsense. Well, you keep feeling the way you are, and I'll keep feeling the way I am, okay? I feel the best that I have in 20 years, man, I'm telling you. And in this blessed life, the 45 years that God has given me, He's allowed me, Brother Denny, to see some beautiful sights. Now, I thought about this. I thought about the waterfalls in North Carolina. We have some of the most beautiful places in North Carolina in the world. Some of the most beautiful places, man. And everybody knows this. One thing that our family loves to do is to hike in the quote-unquote Chase Waterfalls, man. All of the major waterfalls in North Carolina that is really sought after, we've been to every one of them. We've hiked to them. Matter of fact, just the other day, Leslie and I hiked to 5 different ones in one day. Man, it was beautiful. The tuna tasted great and the crackers. You say, why didn't you eat Beanie Weenies? Because Leslie wouldn't pack it. When you're hiking that much, I think you can justify a few extra calories. Somebody say amen. But I thought of, and man, they are beautiful. They're beautiful. I thought about this. The rolling green hills of Scotland that I've seen. The cobblestone sidewalks of Europe. The Badlands out west. Mount Rushmore. And many more that I could talk about. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing on this earth, no, that compares to where I'm headed to. Boy, if time would permit us, we could go to the book of Revelation and we could begin to read about heaven and we could begin to read about the gates of pearl and the crystal river of life and the streets of gold. Oh, but more than that, together around the throne of God and see He who died for us. What a splendid place. There's a promised peace, but there is a promised place. Man, look up in here. I don't have to worry about where I'm going when I lay my head tonight. There is a promised place for those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a promised peace. There's a promised place. There's a promised prediction. Look in verse number 3. And if I go... Man, I've been rushing. It's just 15 till 12. And if I go and prepare a place for you, watch this. I will come again. If you underline in your Bible, I would invite you to underline those words, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. And then beside of that, write something like this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You say, are you serious? Well, if you want to, I've written my Bible. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. I'm going to tell you something. There is a promised prediction. That word prediction means this, to declare or tell in advance. It also means this, to prophesy or foretell of something. There's a lot of predictions that go on in our society. Matter of fact, there's an election coming up. And I sure hope you'll go vote. Somebody say amen right there. If you don't go vote, don't complain about the way it goes if it don't go the way that it should. There is prediction. Matter of fact, me and Frost was talking about that the other night. That's his line of work. And I went to him and I said, what are you predicting about all of this? And because that's what he knows. He studies that stuff. And there ain't no need in me watching the news. When God sent him in my life, I just go to him. It saves me a lot of time. He was talking about some predictions. We can predict some things, but we really don't know for sure until it happens. But this is a promised prophesying of what will happen. Here's what he said. If I go away, time will not permit us this morning, but we could go over to the book of Acts where he did go away. Just a few chapters from now, he's going to die. He's going to be buried, but thank God he's going to get up. Then we roll on into the Bible and we find that 40 days later, he ascends up into the heavens. There is a promise prediction or a promise prophesying right here. He said, if I go away, I will come again. You know what he was saying to the disciples? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, boys, don't let your heart be agitated. Don't be stressed out about this thing. I know I've told you a lot of things. There's a lot to comprehend in what I just said. Oh, but I make you a promise. I'm leaving here. But one day I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Thank God he is soon to return. The coming of the Lord. Oh, yes, the coming of the Lord. It's at hand today. I believe that in all of my heart. I'm looking forward to our couples retreat. Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. Miss Leslie and I together, honestly, I bet together we've put over 100 hours this weekend to getting ready for the couples retreat. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. But Brother Stan, it won't bother me a bit if we're not gathered around the throne of God tomorrow afternoon and eating at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You say, preacher, what are you saying? He's coming. He's coming. I'll tell you the reason I don't have to worry too much about what's going on around here, because he's coming. He's coming. You say, well, preacher, what if this one gets in the White House or that one gets in the White House? It's going to get worse and worse according to the Bible. That don't mean I ain't going to go vote. I'm still going to go vote. Amen, amen, and amen again. If you hadn't ever voted, you see me afterwards and we'll get you a voter registration so you can get registered to vote. You say, well, there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. That's exactly right. The state's supposed to stay out of the church. That's what every bit, hey, is it preaching time? That's what every bit of that was put in place for. It was never to keep the church out of the state. That's the problem today. We quit letting our voice be known, and that's the reason they're killing babies, one right after another, and the world's in the shape it's in. It's time that we get involved with the state again. Amen. Well, that's nowhere in there, but it's good preaching. It's in here. I don't have time to preach it to you, but go vote. It don't matter who gets in. Things is going to get worse. But before it gets too bad, we getting out of here. There's a promise prophesying, number four, and we'll go home. There's a promised path. There's a promised path. Look with me in verse number 6. Verse number 6 of chapter 14, and I'll be done. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a promised path. Don't you hear what I'm fixing to say to you? There's no back doors to heaven. There's no back doors to heaven. If you get to heaven, you're going to go one way. It's a one-way street. And it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you go to heaven, you're going to go through the path that God designed. I sure am thankful for the day, July the 20th, 1994, when I took a trip on that path. God showed me I was lost and on the road to hell. I asked Christ to come into my heart and save me. Thank God for the path that He provided. Boy, it'd have been something to tell them all these things. Verse number 1, 2, 3. Matter of fact, it says in verse 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, there he is. Y'all that knows your Bible knows who that is. Old Thomas had to say something, saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Lord, how do we get there? God, you've talked about this great place that you prepared for us. Thomas says, Jesus, we need to know how to get there. He says, hey, boys, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've said this so much, but I'm going to say it again. If you go to heaven, you'll go through the blood of Jesus Christ, or you won't go. Or you won't go. That's the only way to heaven. There is no other way. Miss Daniel, you come start playing softly. Here's what we want to do so many times. We want to talk about our good deeds. Somebody say, amen. I've done this and I've done that and I've tried to help this. And you know, I am, please don't nobody get upset with me, but I am all for. Yesterday, a lot from the church helped with sitting at the Dollar Generals and getting toys, and I'm all for that. I'm all for, you know, the Saturday before Christmas Eve, a lot will go out and give those toys out and give those gifts out. I'm all for every bit of that. That's a great thing to do. It is. Bring some toys and put in that box over there. That's a great thing to do. It's the end of the year. Are you with me? It's the end of the year. You might need a tax write-off. The church is 501c3. We need to pay this building off. Man, if you got 500, 1,000, or 500,000, people gives this time of the year. And I'm all for that. My family will deliver gifts that Saturday morning. I'm all for, but you know, a lot of times we do things like that because it makes us feel good. Everybody okay? Come on now. It makes us feel good. Well, I'm getting some toys to give some. Great. You can give all the toys you want to give. You can go to Mercy and Truth and work from now till the Saturday before Christmas, because there's going to be plenty to do over there where all these toys goes through. And I had to brag on my sis right here. That's my sis that started all of that and had a burden for Wilkes, Surrey, and Yakin County to give Christmas to those in need in those three counties. And not just to them, but she gives something to every resident in the nursing homes in those three counties. And boy, I'm proud of her. But you can go over there and you can work and all that, but that'll never take you to heaven. You can read your Bible from front to back and back to front, but it'll never take you to heaven. You can sit on a church pew or a church seat every day of your life, but it'll never take you to heaven. There's one way. I am the way. This is Jesus talking. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's a promised path. That path leads, watch this, to that place. That path leads to that peace. You'll never have that peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes from Him. So in closing, I ask you this. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet the Lord?